Hello, this is Etienne Dao and you're listening to La Joie de Vic on Soho Radio.
Etienne Dao, the interview. He popped in just before making his way towards Six Music BBC Studios, but he was incredibly generous and stopped by the Soho Radio Studios. And here is what it sounded like. Let's just remind ourselves of what kind of incredible music he has created. This is Jungle Pulse by Etienne Dao.
Se tord, s'étire et se déhanche, luisant dans sa tenue élastique. et je tombe patatras dans la vapeur super tropicale. Je suis celui qui te boit et qui te dévore.
So, Etienne, welcome to Soho. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. I hear, the first thing you said when you arrived was that you walked past the station in the past. So
a few times, because there is a few bars around here. And I was watching, Soho Radio, so I was intrigued. Yeah. And here I am.
Fantastic. And in your experience in the past then, have you seen a lot of change in Soho since... Since you first arrived.
A lot. It was more dangerous before.
Really?
Yeah.
You feel it?
Oh, yeah. It became more normal, in a way. But it's still very lively, still a very good area anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you based in this part of London?
Stayed in Covent Garden for a few years.
Yeah.
And I came back and stayed for 5 years close to Earl's Court.
Fantastic. Yeah, so you've got a good idea of Central London, West London, East London.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably know it better than I do. Well, Etienne, it's an honour to have you here, because I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. You know, an interview like this is not going to be even a scratch on the surface of your unbelievably impressive career. 11 magazine covers recently, I heard, just recently. 11 albums. This is, you know, I don't even know how to, you know, how you even have time to relax. Do you relax? Do you get time off?
No.
No.
No time to relax, really, but it's a chance to do this kind of job for so long and to be so excited for so long. So, you know, I don't need to rest, you know.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. And when the life proposes you projects and stuff, you have to take it, you know. It's a chance. It's because you're ready to do it, so...
Go back to the slightly to the beginning. I read a fantastic interview of yours, or I heard it on the radio, where you basically said that from the age of three, you kind of had this vision where music was something that just came straight towards you, where you could visualize the music.
I had a very special way of writing the notes, because I didn't know anything about the real thing, the real note, classical. But I invented a way of not forgetting my songs. So, but I don't use it anymore.
Really?
Dictaphone is fine.
Yeah. And so you were raised during a very difficult period of Algeria, going back to the start.
Yes, yes. I left at 7.
You left at 7.
For France.
That's right.
But in a way, it's good, because when you have to leave a country when you're very young, you can settle everywhere and you feel at home everywhere. So I lived in different countries and I feel home. I live in Lisbon, I live in New York, I lived in London, in Barcelona, Ibiza.
Wow.
And it's fine. And I live in Paris too, of course, yeah.
Do you reckon you get an influence of music and you take a bit of creativity from your journeys to all those destinations? Do you think
Oh, yes, of course, because you're always writing about what you're living. So when I was in London, I was very much inspired with London, by the city and by all the people I met. On the last album, I was very influenced by the ghost of Syd Barrett, you know, the first leader of Pink Floyd.
Yes.
It was an amazing thing, because I read a biography about him, and he's like God to me, you know, since I'm a kid. The first record I bought was the first Pink Floyd record, Piper of the Gates of Dawn. And I met the guy who was sharing a flat with him.
No.
And he lived just close to my place in London, in Earl's Court. So we met. His name is Dougie Fields. He's a famous painter. And we became friends, and he left me in the room where Syd Barrett lived, you know, for a few times. And it was so inspiring. I could feel in the walls all the vibes, you know, because it was the room where he wrote so many songs and where he disintegrated. So it was very moving. And so I wrote a few songs after that.
Wow, amazing. What was the feeling when you first discovered their music? Do you remember where you were when you first heard that song and you said, I have to get this song on album? Do you remember?
I always was interested with music. I think the first record I listened to was the first... Beach Boy albums.
Yes.
My father had the first Beach Boys record album, and I was crazy about that record. That was my first memories of a record.
And have you taken any influences from Brian Wilson at all into your music?
Oh, I think influences are hidden in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, everything you're listening to, or it could be a picture, it could be a book, a film, or any music, and it's like a melting of all that that makes you create something with your style and sensibility, and it becomes something different.
Yeah.
It becomes yours.
And The Doors, Hendrix, Motown, those bands as well, they played a big part in your musical education, didn't they?
Especially Motown, and very much the Velvet Underground. You know, Lou Reed was my hero. And I had the opportunity and the chance to be called by John Cale, to sing a song from the first Velvet Underground album last year at the Philharmonie in Paris. That was a great honor because it's all my culture, you know. So it was so so strong and so intense. I was scared to death.
Really? I was going to ask. Yes. So how did you prepare for that? Did you have any?
Oh, I felt quite good until he called me for coming on stage.
Oh wow!
And suddenly it became a reality. You know, I took all my culture in my face, right in the face. It was crazy.
Did you remember seeing the audience, or was it just a bit of a mirage? Were you just so focused?
It was a black hole. I think the first three lines were fucked up. And then after that, I started to sing. And
wow, what a moment. What a moment
yeah.
that is.
Oh, yeah. I first came to London when I was 14. In Manchester, I was working in a hotel for having some money. And then I came back very often because I was living in Brittany, so it's not far, and I was absolutely obsessed with rock and pop, and all the music coming from England. So I came here a lot because I wanted to feel that I was part of something that was happening, and since then I'm coming. Yeah. Very often, and I recorded a lot of records here, like Absolutely. Five or six albums in London.
What was the main kind of difference for you about recording in England and recording in France? Was there something quite specific that attracted you?
Oh yes, because when I'm here, I'm absolutely anonymous and I'm here for working. I mean, there is a lot of opportunities to party, of course, but I come here mostly for writing and for being emerge into a project, and I think for me London is very exotic and it's very inspiring to speak in another language because it makes me write in another way somewhere. I don't know why, but my writing is very different when I'm here because I'm speaking another language, so I have to make a kind of something is happening in your brain.
Yeah.
It's mysterious. I don't know why.
No, if it works, keep going. It's definitely working. Behind the scenes, a little bit of behind the scenes in Etienne's style of writing. How is a kind of a normal studio day for you? How is the writing process? Do you have to be completely alone in a space, or do you write away from the studio and bring it into the space? Do you need to be in a group of musicians? And how does the process work for you?
Oh, there is first of all, I'm writing the songs in a home studio, yeah. So I'm doing all the demos and trying to make them as more completed and close to the sound that I'm dreaming of that I can. And then we're going to the studio and we record with a proper musician, a real musician. So it's in two separated episodes. There is no time for searching in the studio, really. And trying to record on the tape, you know, to have the real vibe of the tape and the warmth of the tape.
Do you have a favorite studio to record that in London?
Oh, yes, I recorded in Rack Studio, which I like. And I recorded in Abbey Road three or four times, but mostly for the orchestras, because it sounds absolutely incredible. And I also recorded a record in the 90s called Eden.
Yes.
And it was in Olympic Studios that doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. But it was an incredible studio. Mm. I was working with Brian Eno. It was next door, you know, between Eric Clapton and Brian Eno. It was quite
be able to have inspiring conversations.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah,
at the restaurant.
Ah, Etienne, you're teasing.
Tout est blanc, tout givré, innocent. C'est l'hiver en été. Tout est blanc, défoncé,
C'était la chambre du serpent, sifflant le chant des résistants, des infimes d'ailes, le miel et le goût entêtant du tabac gris béni et de la poudre blanche artificielle, orgie noble.
étions 12 en bas l'espace de liberté et refusion de nous livrer le cœur renversé, nul et masqué. En mal d'amour et refusion de nous livrer.
You know, just a few names you've collaborated with: Jane Birkin, Charlotte Gainsbourg, you got Françoise Hardy,
Debbie Harry,
yeah, Jacques Dutronc,
Marianne Faithfull.
Oh la 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 la!
Yeah, I'm very lucky. R.
R. Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
Lou Doyon.
The names.
Many. Many
amazing
people.
And they're very lucky, Etienne. Must remember that they're very lucky.
I'm very lucky.
You're both.
Of course, doing my job. I don't know if it's a job. Leads you to meet people and to melt with other sensibilities, and it's fabulous, really.
When you collaborate with these artists, how much do you hold back? Do you offer everything you've got, you know, offer your personality, offer your skills to different musicians who bring different sounds? Do you give everything you've got, or do you retain a bit? And, you know,
I never retain.
No.
No. No, when you work with anything you do, you have to do it 100% anyway. So, no?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's just, you know, you've worked with so many people, and it's this, you know, different music, whether you like the song or not. Or
I always work with people that I love.
Yeah.
This is a key.
Absolutely.
I never did anything for money or for... No, it's always because I love the person, I respect the artist, always, always, always.
Now, one name I read who was a very close friend of yours, but you never, correct me if I'm wrong, collaborated on an actual piece of music, was Serge Gainsbourg.
Yes, yeah.
So,
but we drank a lot together. That was very, very creative.
I don't know if that's the answer to my next question, but I wanted to know what was one of the biggest things that you took from Serge, that you learnt and that he kind of brought to you?
Oh, he told me everything, but that was you know, I started, so I was very young, but it comes back to me now, you know. I remembered what we said, and he said very funny things like, when your audience will be too old, change it.
That's very interesting, isn't it? And have you used that piece of advice?
Kind of.
That's a very useful, yeah, that is fantastic. And I'm sure you've got lots of stories, lots of...
Yes, some stories I can tell and some others, which is impossible to tell.
Before episode 2. Something that I read, which I thought was absolutely beautiful that you said, was... Every artist or musician or creative needs someone behind them who has the same vision and supports them and is there to kind of, you know, push them forward, to kind of really give them that mm-hmm. that support. And you did that with Lou Doyon, for example.
Yeah.
And she speaks incredibly highly of you for having done so. I wanted to know if anyone played that role for you in your career since the
start.
Oh,
yes. Three couples, actually. But in a way of... father and mother figures. Serge Gainsbourg and Jane Birkin, Françoise Hardy and Jacques Dutronc, and Elie Medeiros and Jacques Noe from the Stinky Toys. And they were here for me, very much. They made me feel that I was part of the family, and they liked me, and they saw me, which is amazing when, which is amazing when you start, you know, when you start, you're very fragile. And so it's so good to be to felt supported by this kind of people that you like and respect. That was very, very important for me and still is.
I can imagine. I mean, those are six incredibly highly
influential
and talented musicians. So I can imagine. Do you ever have those kind of memories written down just so you can quickly read them before a concert, maybe, just to give you that?
Not yet.
So the amount of albums you created, Etienne, is phenomenal. How's the process for you to switch off after one huge project? Are you able to, do you travel? Do you still listen to a lot of music, or do you need a bit to zone out?
Are you able, usually I go on tour, which is another step. It's the moment to share with other people. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to make the song live and to share it with other people. I just finished the tour for the Blitz record, and it was absolutely amazing what I received from the audience.
And the press reviews have been incredible as well. The French press have been very...
Yeah, and it's my best tour, the best memories I've got, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah, after 40 years of music, it's the best time of my life, really.
And next week, Brixton, Saturday the 19th.
Yes.
It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be...
Yes.
Have you played there before?
No, not on that venue. I played at the Marquee, ICA, Coco.
Yes.
And it's very exciting.
You mentioned sharing a second ago. How open are you when you are in the writing process and to get feedback? Do you have anyone specific that you approach to kind of listen to your first work? Are you quite open? Are you quite private?
Not really. I know when I'm good and I know when I'm not. I'm my worst judge. I'm the sharpest. No. I'm the most mean.
Yeah, strict.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't find the word. Sorry.
You are your own critique.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm the most difficult critic for me, for myself.
Okay. Well, if it works for you, then that works for you. And do you ever listen back to records? One, you know, let's say the fifth album you released. Do you ever listen back to them and think, oh, I would have done that song a bit differently, actually?
Yes, we change the arrangements in every tour, because there is some songs that I sing from the beginning. Mm. So we change the arrangement. I change the arrangements at every tour, on every tour. So, yeah. Brilliant. But I never listened to the previous records.
At all?
Not really.
What if you walk into a shop? How often does that happen to you? You walk into a cafe or a restaurant. Do you ever hear your song being played in France, for example, and think,
or even in cabs,
really? And what's that moment for you?
It happens a lot, and it's great.
Really,
I like the sound of the radio. Amazing. Because it's very compressed, so it sounds very very thick.
Do you ever feel tempted to ask a taxi driver, what do you think about...
No, never. I'm too shy for that.
Okay, Etienne, so I was going to ask you about your thoughts on the French music scene, because you're, of course, at the top of this let's call it the pyramid of La Nouvelle Vague and La Vague in France. There's something, I hope you agree with me, quite exciting happening in France on the music scene, where everyone is singing more and more in French.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What's your thoughts on this?
That's great. Yeah. Because it's you have to keep your identity and to create something new with... Usually when French people sing in English or write in English, it sounds not right to me, really, except some bands, but it's very rare, like Phoenix, for example. It seems to me that it's great in English, you know. I don't feel embarrassed for that, you know what I mean?
I totally understand. I was actually going to mention, I mean, notably on one of your Blitz fantastic album, by the way, if I haven't mentioned it already.
Thank you.
It's been on loop. I can't, you know, it ends, I go back to the beginning.
Oh, really?
I love it.
Merci.
And, you know, Après le Blitz, it features Flavien Berger on it, mm-hmm,
yeah,
who's one of the many big stars coming out of France at the moment.
Yes, he's very interesting. He's very unique. Yes. I like him very much.
Even when you work with musicians who are very opposite ends in a sense, do you still take something from that experience, you know, though he...
I think we've got a lot in common, actually. We're not so different. it's a question of style, but the most important thing is the zone of affinity.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I totally. Yeah, it's right. No, absolutely. And you know, I met Flavien. Flavien was on this show last month.
Yeah.
And I can see what you're saying. I can see what you're saying in a positive way. And then, you know, you also were involved in a photography exhibition.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrating the French music.
Yes. I was curating an exhibition at the Philharmonie on the French pop history from the 40s, which was an amazing thing to do and very time-consuming because it was it happened at the time where the Blitz was out. So it was a crazy moment, but very, very exciting. And also I could show my pictures because I did some pictures of all the French new scene, included Flavien Berger.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very exciting moment. Very exciting.
Lots
moment.
Of photos from your career from the start as well.
No, I was choosing all the artists that, from my taste, were the most interesting French artists from the 40s until now. And there is a special room with my pictures. The pictures I did from the new scene, the new French scene.
Do you think it sounds amazing. I'm very disappointed I missed it. Do you think there's an opportunity this is going to ever come to London?
We talked about it at a point, but I don't know where the project is now. But there is a book.
Yes.
With all the pictures and all. It's not the same because it was a very immersive experience. It was really, really interesting scenography.
Mm. What French? What's the French music you're listening to at the moment? Flavien Berger, you mentioned a second ago. Is there?
Yes, I like a guy called Lune Apache. He's a young Syd Barrett. Very, very interesting. Very psychedelic pop music. He's really good. I like a guy called Malik Judy.
Oh, fantastic.
I just did a duet with him yesterday, actually.
Really?
In studio, yeah.
He was on this show as well.
Yes. Oh, he's great.
He's lovely. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic, yeah.
A girl called Calypso Valois, and she's Elie Medeiros and Jack No daughter, and she just did her first album. She's really great. Very interesting girl. Jan Wagner.
Oh, yes.
François-Marie from François and the Atlas Mountains. Yes. There is many, many good...
Do you still go to their concerts when you can?
Of course, sure.
Wow. Do you ever go to them? Do you ever speak to them before the concert or, you know, give them a quick word of advice or you just like...
No, I wouldn't do that. You know, they don't need any advice, you know.
You just let them do the art.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, I'm sure they're... I'm only asking because I can only imagine if you're singing to an audience and you look across and... You got Etienne looking at you. you could forget your lyrics.
But it's a very friendly relationship, yeah. You know. At first, maybe it's a bit embarrassing for them because I'm here for so long. But after a while, you know, it's very the relation become very simple.
Well, Etienne, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for receiving me.
That's a pleasure and congratulations.
Next time, I'll be more fluent.
Your English is fantastic.
Yeah, because when you leave, you know, you have to. Your English leaves. You know.
No, it's perfect.
I'm losing it.
No. It feels like you know, you're thinking in French. You come into a space and it's like an English exam, but being recorded. So I totally feel for you in that sense. But you've been fantastic. And
English thanks
is great.
A lot.
The album is equally brilliant. And best of luck next week.
Thank you very much.
At the Brixton concert.
And welcome to the show if you want to.
Merci beaucoup. With a pleasure. Merci. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you.